T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Good morning. It is the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. I am Stephen Langford, up leading you to 6 o'clock in the morning. And then Kozlow and Dibs, of course, will be taking over. Again, still trying to find a game that's actually starting right now. Haven't found one yet. I'm sure there's something that we could be the pregame to. But as of right now, we're just the pregame to the game. Coming up today, just wanted to talk about what happened in Bay Area baseball last night as the A's fall to the Angels and break their 9-game winning streak, and it's just it was a high scoring affair, to say the least. And I haven't looked in the past games yet, but I'll assume that was the longest game of the season because it was the fourth inning and it already took 2.5 hours. The Giants also lost to the Astros last night by the score of 6-4, but the score doesn't necessarily reflect how that game went. The Giants overall just looked real sluggish out of the gate. Defensively, they continue to have a tough time, and it's just not looking good for them as far as what's going on the defensive side of the ball. Donovan Solano was a bright spot hitting, but on defense he didn't look too great yesterday. Steph Curry, want to talk about him a little bit. He spoke with Mark Stein of the New York Times. Under Armour just gave him his own brand, kind of like Jordan, the first player to do so since Jordan. And so that'll be really interesting coming up. And also, I want to give you a little update on this Ramon Laureano and Astro story, because the things that Ramon Laureano had to say to Jeff Passan of ESPN. Now, when we read yesterday the tweets that were coming from Jose Jesus de la Cruz, and he said essentially that that Alex Cintron spoke about Ramon Laureano's mother, and that's why Laureano decided to charge Alex Cintron. And then he followed it up with, Laureano is known as one of the nicer guys in baseball. And this interview that happened with Jeff Passan, when we got some, when I'll read the quotes off to you, that he said to ESPN, it won't be much of a surprise as to what the reporter was talking about there as him being one of the nicest guys in the league. I got something. It's going to bring some clarity to that entire situation. But the Giants end up falling to the Astros 6-4, and I wanted to start off with that because this team, here's the interesting thing, is that they are a reliever heavy club, and that meaning Gabe Kapler clearly doesn't care about the game situation. He's looking at pitch count. He's looking at how far a guy is going. He's saying, no matter how good he's doing in the game, if he gives up a hit here, I'm taking him out and I'm bringing in either the righty or lefty that I got going up in the bullpen right now. I'm either bringing in Tyler Rogers or Sean Anderson if I want a righty, Wandy Peralta if I want a lefty. But this team right now, and when Logan Webb has a start like he had last night where he's just not locating at all and he's just leaving them pitches up in the zone. And Logan Webb, he only lasted 3.1 innings, giving up four hits, a couple earned runs, and three strikeouts. If you have a starting rotation, which really you don't know if these guys are going to be starters in the future, you understand that Johnny Cueto, he's a legitimate starter, and he can be your guy going every fifth day. But other than that, it doesn't seem like you have much in the way of that. You got Kevin Gausman, who's a veteran, and really when he was with the Orioles, and I think Ubaldo Jimenez was the number one guy at the time when he got started and started coming up. Kevin Gausman, I thought, would be really good. And then in the past few years, he's kind of fallen off, and last year he rejuvenated his splitter. So that guy, he's known as a starter, but the rest of the guys they got, I mean, you could easily just put them in the reliever role, and that's, you'd think that that's what their role would be. But I just don't really get where they're going right now as far as their starting rotation. They just do not seem to have the talent right now. And when they throw out relievers as much as they throw them out there, I mean, eventually you got to give these guys a break. You can't just throw them out every single game. And the relievers weren't even the problem yesterday. It was just not being able to, it was the defensive errors and not being able to keep the starter in for over three innings or past three innings. So it's just, it's not a recipe for the Giants to actually have any success, and it's not a good one. So I don't know what the solution is for them going forward, but they just got to give their relievers a break. And I mean, last night you had Lance McCullers, who was throwing a no-hitter going into the seventh inning, and he looked really good coming off Tommy John surgery. You know, he was, despite all of the Astros cheating and whatnot, you can't really cheat when you're a pitcher. And Lance McCullers performed very well in the playoffs for them. He's always had a lot of movement on his pitches. He's one of the more outspoken pitchers in baseball as far as not being able to not being afraid to kind of talk back at guys who are talking trash about their Astros team. But it's just, when you look at the Astros and who they were playing, it's just, it's completely different. And I don't know where they're going right now. And here's the worst one that happened yesterday. And this isn't even really, I don't even know if this counts as an error. I don't believe this counts as an error. But when Chadwick Trump got a catcher's interference called on him when Josh Reddick was at the plate, Josh Reddick, he sits back. He also bulked up, by the way. But Josh Reddick is the type that sits back at the plate. He sits back in the box and he has long arms, so he's going to extend whenever he swings. And Chadwick Trump got in the way. That's the fourth catcher's interference call for the Giants this season. And to put that into a little bit of context, Buster Posey had three for his entire career. And that is why you're missing Buster Posey so much right now. It's because of what he does with the young pitchers. It's because of what he does as far as being a leader on the team, but also just being a good defensive catcher. We know his offense isn't there, but I do think that they are missing Buster Posey in that aspect, because you're playing with a lot of newer guys on this team, and Bochy, for the most part, if he had a younger catcher in there, he could call the game for them. I don't know if Tyler Heineman or Chadwick Trump have that going for them, but clearly, if they're getting the calls from the dugout, it's not working right now. So that's where you're missing Buster Posey, I think, the most. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. It was not a pretty game for the Giants. They really couldn't get anything going until the eighth and ninth inning. And, of course, they had the three-run ninth inning when they made it a little exciting when Solano got a double and, I believe, extended his hitting streak to 15 games. And Brandon Crawford getting a single and driving in two more. So, you know, they made it exciting. But in the end, 6-4 doesn't necessarily reflect what that game was like yesterday, as the Giants go to 7-11 on the season. I do want to talk about this guy, though, and this guy plays for the A's, and that is one Matt Chapman.
That ball's hit deep to left center field, and that baby's gone. So Chapman homers, and the A's are on the board.
That sound courtesy of NBC Sports California. And that was in the first inning. He might not have been done because in the third inning, he did it again.
That one's hit to center. That's deep. Trout's back, and that baby's gone. Matt Chapman has homered twice in the first three innings, and the A's have a 5-3 lead.
They had a 5-3 lead, and this game just lasted forever. What was it, 9-4 by the time the fourth inning rolled around? And the A's had knocked around Julio Teheran a little bit. And from the Chilton Auto Body text line at 888-957-9570, from the 707, who can replace Minaya in the rotation? I don't know what is going on with Minaya right now, as he has yet another bad outing. He's not missing many bats. And the confidence just doesn't seem to be there. It's not like he's blowing. He's never been the type to blow pitches by guys. He's always been the location, kind of put some spin on it, make the pitches move. He's always been that kind of dude. But this year, it just doesn't seem to be working right now, as he's leaving a lot of hangers out there. And one guy to take advantage of it was Mike Trout.
That is hammered out to left field. No doubt about it. Big fly for Mike Trout. Two-run shot.
That baseball got out quickly. That's one of those screaming baseballs off the bat for Trout.
Now, I talked about how the Giants are using their relievers in such a... they're using them so heavily, and they're using them with such... every single day, they've been coming in, and they've been terrific. They've been so good this year, but last night, it finally got to them as J.B. Wendelken gave up three earned runs. Lou Trevino, who you really haven't seen that much. T.J. McFarland and Yusmeiro Petit, who's been very good as well as McFarland. And if, excuse me, I called him T.J., but I got the initials mixed up. But Mike Trout continued against Yusmeiro Petit in the ninth to break the tie.
That is hammered out to left field. No doubt about it. He's done it again. Big fly for Mike Trout, and the Angels are on top, 10-9.
Look, the A's were on a 9-game winning streak, okay? And we do forget that the Angels, with adding Anthony Rendon, they put some power in their lineup. And last night, listen to these stats here. From Shohei Ohtani, Anthony Rendon, and Mike Trout, they combined 8-for-12 with four homers, a double, three walks, eight runs scored, and seven RBIs. And the A's, they just couldn't keep up with that yesterday. And it's hard to keep on pace with what they're doing. And I get you, 707. I understand you're wondering who can replace Minaya in the rotation. But as of right now, I think you got to give him maybe one, two more starts to see where he's at, and maybe see if he'd be better suited going to the bullpen, maybe trying to get his arm back, because he came back last season from the injury and he looked great, except for that wild card game in which they lost to the Rays. And now this season, he looks like he just doesn't look as he did when he returned right away and pitching with that confidence. Mike Fiers is kind of the same way. Right now, the rotation is built around Jesus Luzardo and Frankie Montas. And Luzardo, you can expect to be a mainstay. And I think when we get fans back, by the way, got an idea for Luzardo. Free giveaway, 50,000 white-rimmed glasses. And everyone just wears them in the crowd. But that's just an idea for another day when we actually get fans back. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. Coming up, I do want to talk about this article from Steph Curry. You're also going to hear some sound from Michael Silver of the NFL Network. And he's been all over George Kittle and the reports about the contract talks with the Niners and his agent. Michael Silver's been on top of that. You're going to hear from him next. He had a pretty interesting tidbit regarding the contract for George Kittle, and I have some thoughts on that. 888-957-9570. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Drink it on, drink it on, drink it on. Hey, Good morning, everybody. It is Stephen Langford here on the pregame show, leading you into 6 o'clock as Kozlow and Dibs will take over. Coming up a little later on in the show, I do want to give you an update on just the Ramon Laureano situation. It's not necessarily an update, but a little clarity on the entire thing, because Ramon Laureano spoke with ESPN's MLB guy, Jeff Passan, and there's some pretty interesting quotes in there. And one of the things we heard from the report that it was on Twitter saying, you know, Alex Cintron said something about Laureano's mother and it was just a rumor. They continued on that Twitter saying that Laureano's known as one of the nicer guys in baseball. And these quotes that I'm going to read off for you, they're going to show just that. You're also going to hear from Dave Stewart coming up. That'll be at 5:35. He was on the station yesterday and it was a great interview. I wanted to replay it for you. Before I get to this sound from Mike Silver on George Kittle, talking about his contract coming into this year, and he says that this week is it could be pivotal for the 49ers and George Kittle in their contract talks. But just a closing note on this baseball segment that we had in this last one. Man, Mike Trout makes it look so easy, and it's just gross. That those two home runs he hit yesterday, they weren't necessarily on the same pitches, but you had one off a left-hander, one off a right-hander. They were both shots to left. The first one was 428 feet. The second one was 427 feet. The exit velo on the first one was 108 miles an hour. I don't know what it was on the second one, but it's just with how compact his swing is and how just short it looks. It doesn't look like he extends his arms all that far. He just looks like he gets the barrel to the ball and it just travels. It's unbelievable to watch that guy. And it makes me, you know, as a baseball fan and a big Mike Trout fan, anytime we had fans that were able to go to the games, I would always try and make my way to an A's game when the Angels were in town just so I could watch Mike Trout. And seeing him in person, you could tell the power and see it off the bat. But last night, he showcased that power, hitting a couple of home runs. And if you get a chance, just watch the highlight. And it was an unfortunate loss for the A's. And win streaks are hard to come by. And 10-game win streak in a 60-game season, almost a sixth of the way, and you did that winning in the beginning of the season, they're fine. It's nothing really to panic about. And it was a good game. They just couldn't notch any runs up after the fourth inning. And the Angels relievers took over, and you know, their power guys with Trout, Otani, and Rendon were too much. But those are just some closing thoughts on that A's Angels game yesterday. It had to have been one of the longer games that we've watched, besides the, you know, the one that lasted 13 innings or whatever. But Michael Silver, he was on the NFL Network yesterday. He was on NFL Now, and he's been all over George Kittle and his contract talks. Reports that normally surface about this sort of thing are gone through Michael Silver, and he was on NFL Network yesterday, and he had to say this about the George Kittle contract, and I'll tell you after why these reports, you know, I believe they're real because he's getting texts from George Kittle's agent, but ultimately, here's why I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. Here's Michael Silver.
A week until he puts himself in a more perilous position, potentially, when real practices start. So I think this is a big week. I talked to Kittle's agent, Jack Bechta, yesterday. He said progress has been minimal and later reinforced that by texting me an inchworm emoji to underscore that fact. And, it's not just money. There is structure and how much money a player like George Kittle could get up front, how much would actually be guaranteed. And at the heart of all this has been somewhat of a philosophical divide between the 49ers, who say, listen, we want to pay you more than any tight end ever because you're the greatest tight end, and Kittle's camp, which is saying don't view me as a tight end. I was just voted the seventh best player in football at any position. And then you have players like Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz who have outperformed their contracts and are in line for a significant raise. Right now, the biggest per-year tight end contract is Austin Hooper's $10.5 million a year that he signed in this past free agency period. So you have Kelce and you have Ertz knocking on the door of their respective teams saying, hey, listen, I think an adjustment is in order. And then Kittle obviously is looking for a whole lot of money, too. So there's a lot to pay attention to. But I think this week will be a very, very pivotal week for George Kittle and the 49ers.
So pay attention this week is what Michael Silver is essentially saying. If you are looking at George Kittle's contract and wondering what's happening, but I'm looking at this kind of the same way that I'm looking at the Raheem Mostert situation when they were trying to restructure his deal. And it's not necessarily the same at all because George Kittle wants to reset the market, or at least his agent wants him to reset the market. And this stuff is what you're hearing from the agent reporting it to Michael Silver. Now, George Kittle to me is a mainstay on this team. The guy, I don't think, I mean, maybe you could put Lamar Jackson in this. I'm trying to think of other players right off the bat, but it's hard to find another player who looks like he's having more fun doing what he's doing than George Kittle.
Rides, baby, all day long. Get your tickets.
Just no matter what Kyle Shanahan throws out there, whether he has to block or he has to catch passes, George Kittle seems to be happy in this Kyle Shanahan offense. And I know it's a business and there's not a ton of ties to this town because, you know, I think that's what gets lost a lot in sports when we're talking about contracts is we feel like these players have this sort of affinity to the team that we'd love to think, but really the money is what drives it for the most part. But George Kittle, like, genuinely, I understand that. I understand the business aspect of it and, you know, learning a lot from listening to Lowe for every day for the past, you know, 3.5-4 years. I get it. But George Kittle, to me, it's hard to imagine he cares so much about the money situation. Now, Austin Hooper is the one guy, you know, I mean, Austin Hooper, Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce, those are the three tight ends that are always brought up because they're the ones that are the highest paid and want to reset the market. But Austin Hooper currently leading with ten and a half per year. 42 is his total value. But he's only making 23 guaranteed. And I think that, and this is kind of what I feel for football players. I could be wrong on this, but for me, I feel like for football players, that guaranteed money means a lot. So if you can somehow, and this is from Bab and Vallejo from the 707, give Kittle 15 mil per year, pay this man. I think it's not just about the average value a year. I mean, if you want to give him 15 mil a year, you want to give him that wide receiver money, then fine. But personally, I think guaranteed money means way more than just the receiver money. And that's tough to do when you're the 49ers because you don't want a situation to happen where you're just on the hook for having to pay him as much as you'd have to pay him. But I personally think George Kittle would be worth it. And we've seen what he did last year when he seemed to have a chip in his, what was it, in his ankle? And he still managed to go out there and perform. So I think that personally, I'm not too worried about this entire situation. And Joel Corey, he's a salary cap expert. He was on the morning show back in June. And he mentioned, He was talking about Kittle at the, this was toward the end of June, he was talking about the Kittle contract and what would be fair to pay him, and he had this to say, and I think for 49er fans, this is what you might be seeing going forward with George Kittle. You might not be seeing that big contract right away.
To me, what I think is fair is you look at if you just contracts and if you just the highest paid tight ends of all time, that would be Jimmy Graham and Gronk in their 2014 and 2011 deals. If you adjust them for cap inflation, and by that I mean how much the cap has gone up since they did their deals, then Jimmy Graham is just a shade under $15 million, and Gronk is just a little over $14.75 million. Putting him in that range, to me, would be fair. That's kind of splitting the baby between the 13 and 17. It's a tremendous jump over where the tight end market is now. And the only guy potentially who could leapfrog that would be Travis Kelce, because the day that that deal gets done, assuming it does, Kelce is going to be asking for at least $1 more.
Now, he said 14 and a half would be fair, but then he continued.
The real concern, and I understand why Kittle wants to be paid like a wide receiver, because he is their primary offensive weapon. Just doesn't work that way in NFL. You get paid by position. Unless you can rush the passer, then it doesn't matter where you line up, you're going to be paid a premium. You're going to have to dramatically reset the tight end market. But if we're talking 17, 18, 19 million per year for Kittle, that's not happening. And the Niners will just go, you know what, we'll franchise you for around 10-5 next year. That's what the tag number will be for tight end if the cap remains flat, right around there. They could do it again for like 12-6. And if they had to, push came to shove in 2023, transition him for over $15 million. So those are two competing concerns. The Niners like to be proactive, but I'll be shocked if Kittle gets wide receiver money. The Niners don't do stupid deals. And not that it'd be stupid, but they're not going to pay him something that dramatically over the tight end market when they don't have to.
And it's something as simple as just franchising him for 10.5 this year and maybe see what they have going forward as far as the salary cap stipulations, because of who you're going to have to pay. Now, you want to pay him as early as possible and just kind of get that contract in the books so you're set and you know what you're going to be dealing with in the future. But they could easily just franchise him for 10.5, and they could franchise him again if they wanted to. So they have a ton of options for George Kittle coming up. Personally, I'm not too worried about whether he'd hold out. If he does, it'd be very interesting. But George Kittle just doesn't strike me as that kind of guy who does want to make the most money that he can as possible. But man, I do think that overall, it's just with what he's done with this team and just how much fun he has on the field. All that sentimental stuff that probably doesn't even matter. I don't know. Maybe it makes a difference. Coming up, you're going to hear from Dave Stewart, who was on the station yesterday. He had a great interview. And then I do want to give you these quotes from Ramon Laureano, because when I read these yesterday, I looked at this entirely different, because I knew he was traded from the Astros organization, but I had no idea what he actually thought of them. And you know, when I read the tweets yesterday about the reports on you know what Alex Cintron had said from the dugout, they clarified in the tweet that Laureano just happens to be one of the nicer guys in baseball. And Laureano proved that with these quotes that he said to Jeff Passan. So you're going to hear from Dave Stewart. You're going to hear these quotes from Ramon Laureano. That's all coming up. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, leading you up till 6 o'clock. You're going to hear from Dave Stewart, who was on with Bonte Steine and Guru for a great interview yesterday. I want you to hear it just in case you did miss it. It's the ICYMI interview of the morning. I think that's what I'll dub it from now on. You know, just a side note, we got the Giants and A's. That's going to be coming up toward the end of the week. But I do think that you should, if you have some free time, if you have about an hour and a half, this is where I first learned about Dave Stewart and any of those older Giants and A's teams from 1989. But if you get a chance, go on YouTube. Searching Champions by the Bay. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was a videotape that I used to watch when I was younger all the time. And I highly recommend you watch it. And they profile the Dave Stewart on there and you know, how great he is with the community, how great he is for the city of Oakland. And, you know, he went through all of that stuff. So that's really where I first heard about Stu. And they go through it's pretty awesome to watch. They kind of go through Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell for the Giants. Brett Butler, oddly, you'll find Mike Kruko. You'll understand why he has a career in broadcasting if you watch this video. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Because he goes around with a microphone. He starts interviewing all these guys. You know, they do a thing on Dave Dravecki and with the A's on their side. And they focus on Dave Stewart and Ricky and all of that. So I highly recommend, you, if you can, just go to YouTube and you got an hour of free time, hour and a half, search up Champions by the Bay. It's a old school video from the early 90s, that really was, it's essentially a 30 for 30 of sorts, except you don't have any talking heads. They just follow around the team and their respective seasons, and it's wild. So I highly recommend you look that up, because it really is a good it's just a good profile on the 1989 World Series and what was involved in it. But Dave Stewart, he was on Bonte, Steiny, and Guru yesterday to talk about a variety of topics, and afterwards they did talk about Ramon Laureano, and I do want to kind of give you the quotes from Jeff Passan on ESPN when he spoke to Ramon Laureano yesterday. And you might have a different view of the entire situation after I read those quotes off to you. But here is Dave Stewart with Bonte, Steiny, and Guru.
Stu, what's happening? You're on with Bonte Hill, Matt Steinmetz, and Darryl DeGuru Johnson. And it's a shame that the A's win 9 in a row, and it's overshadowed by what happened in the 7th inning with Ramon Laureano and the Houston Astros. Obviously, he got hit 3 times in that series, twice yesterday as the A's swept the Astros. But Alex Cintron, the hitting coach for the Astros, barking. Laureano takes the bait, and now we wait on a suspension. Really a tough scene for the A's when really they're playing the best baseball out there out of everybody in the major leagues.
It's going to be damaging. It's going to be damaging to them to lose that young man for an extended period of time. He has for pretty much, I mean, when all cylinders weren't working and they weren't really hitting, the pitching wasn't really going well. I mean, they were kind of riding his back to keep them afloat. And now all cylinders are working. The starting pitching is good. The bullpen has been good. All the guys are starting to hit now. And to lose that spark plug out of your lineup for an extended period of time, I think could be damaging to the A's.
Dave, isn't it kind of an unwritten rule that a coach or manager of another team does not talk to the player or players on the other team?
Well, you don't coax the player on. I mean, you can have words. It's a game of baseball, and tempers do get heated. But to coax the player on, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to see it at some point where I got involved with Pat Corrales some years ago. You know, Pat Corrales was coaxing me on, and he was talking to me in a disrespectful way, which created that situation. And I'm not sure exactly what happened with the Laureano situation, but it did look like Cintron was egging him on and asking him or coaxing him on. And that, to me, I think is where you draw the line. But temperatures fly out there in the heat of competition. Houston, you know, is one of the better teams in the league right now. They're not playing very well. And so temperatures do get high on the field.
Stu, we were having a discussion earlier about managers and their communication or their lack of communication when they pull a pitcher. You know, you in your case, you were an ace, but even a third or fourth starter, they're having a good game. From your experience, can you tell us how big of a deal that is? If there's any communication, if the manager just takes you out the game, or how big of a deal is it if he comes to you and asks you, hey, Stu, what you got left to go out there? Am I in a different world when I think it kind of like communication should be a part of it?
Well, each guy earns the right is the way I look at it. Your number one starter obviously is your number one guy, and he's got a proven track record, and so I think that there's more communication with that guy, and I think it goes down usually to your second and third starter. There's communication. Your fourth and fifth starters are guys that are, you know, five inning, six inning guys.
And when they start to get in that range and get in that territory, you know it's going to be shaky ground. And so, quite frankly, the pitcher has an expectation of what's going to take place once he gets in that area. And if he's in trouble, he has a clear understanding that there's probably going to be a short leash. Whereas with your first three guys, the leash is a little bit longer because they've just proven that they're able to handle adversity out there and make adjustments while things are starting to happen.
Dave Stewart here on 95.7 The Game. Catch him on NBC Sports California, providing analysis for the Oakland A's on the pre- and post-game shows. Stu, just looking back at the A's, and look, Lizardo's pitching. We see him in a rotation now. Frankie Montas is pitching well. Looks like one of the best pitchers in the American League so far this season. Just looking at the other side of the Houston Astros, because obviously the A's took it personal. And we've had Manaea on, we've had Matt Olson on, and they had a little something extra for the Houston Astros this past weekend. When you look at that situation, do you think the Astros, looking at what's happening there, how would you assess that situation? Do you have a little sympathy for what they're going through this year? I know the cheating was bad, but just looking at the way they're being dealt with Joe Kelly and what's happening just on that roster, how do you assess that situation?
I think if I'm in their clubhouse, and I've heard their players even make quotes and statements that, I mean, they're expecting that it's not going to be easy street throughout the league. They're expecting that some guys are going to get thrown at. You don't want that to happen, and it's not acceptable if you're a player in that clubhouse, but they're expecting that. What I can say is this. I mean, they're not playing very well. Dusty Baker is one of my good friends, and I consider him one of my best friends. And what I do know is that Dusty will get these guys turned around. They're missing one of their lead dogs with Verlander. Jared Cole is now pitching for the Yankees. And so, you know, they've had to make some adjustments to their starting rotation. And so this team is not the team that they were a year ago. And they're going to go through some hardships. And along with those hardships, some guys are going to be thrown at because of what took place in Major League Baseball and what Major League Baseball found out about them in regards to not playing the game fairly.
Dave, assuming that when you started a game, you never wanted to get taken out of a game for a relief pitcher, can you give us a sense for the managers you played under? When you saw somebody walking out, were there some guys that just said, give me the ball, you're done? Could you talk a manager into staying in? Kind of, what was the dynamic for you acknowledging you were probably the number one on the staff?
Well, knowing I was the number one on the staff, I knew that Tony was going to give me every opportunity to pitch as deep in the game as I possibly could. And he would manage the game based on, you know, obviously what the scoreboard said. Once we got into the late innings, Tony had a system for me where if he felt, you know, and we talk about pitch count now, but heck, I've pitched 10 inning games where I've thrown 140. I pitched 11 games where I had close to 150. I've had 9 inning games where I've thrown 98. And so what Tony's system was getting late in the game for me personally is if the game was going smoothly, then I would go as far as smooth went. But as things got rocky, he had a system that was called you earn your right to be out there. So if I get an out, I get to see another hitter. And if I get another out, I get to see another hitter. And if I get another out, then obviously I get to finish the inning. And that system started in the eighth inning. In the eighth inning, it was earn your time to be out here. And I knew that that's how we were being handled. We had a great bullpen, similar to the bullpen that the A's have right now. We had a great bullpen. We had a great closer. And so we're not going to lose a game by trying to give me an opportunity to complete a game. And that's right. What I expected. That's what I knew as I got further on in my career. Now we're talking 92 and 93. I knew once I was in the seventh inning or the eighth inning, if he came out, as soon as he hit that third base line, he was going to make the move. But I could feel what he was going to do. I had an idea of what was going to happen. And we didn't have a whole lot of conversation. There's very few times when Tony came out to the mound, he came out with his mindset that he was going to make a move. And there was no talking him out of that.
Stu, I got to ask you, I'm like a lot of A's fans. I know 162 is not being played. It's a condensed season. But what have you made from Lizardo's first two starts? Is it too soon to get excited?
You should have been excited about this guy last year. this kid is the real deal. There's no doubt about Jesús Luzardo. He is the real deal. He's got a maturity that I haven't seen since Fernando Valenzuela in 1981 as my teammate, and the maturity and the composure that he displays out on the mound is unlike anybody's I've seen in a long time. This kid is the real deal.
Stu, I can't help myself. I'm the guy on this show that always looks at the schedule, and I see the A's playing three against the Angels. They played three against the Giants. They had four against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Madison Bumgarner is not even throwing up 86-mile-an-hour fastballs. He has back spasms. Another three with the Angels and the Rays. Like, I picked the A's, believe it or not, to win the World Series. A lot of people don't think I like the A's, but I think their roster is loaded, and I don't think they're hitting the ball all that well yet. Just the expectations now with this A's team after running off nine in a row, and now everything is starting to get together. If I asked you, Stu, what is one thing they're missing to really make that run, what would it be?
I still think ultimately and in the end, you know, I love Mike Fiers, and Mike Fiers has done a great job for them in past being the number one starter, and probably before this year is over with, he'll emerge as the guy that breaks the losing streaks and the guy that you lean on. Jesús Luzardo, I think, is going to be great. But I think that they are missing that one guy, the one lead dog, the Verlander type, the Jared right. Cole type, the guy that you say, under any circumstance, I will match this guy with the best of anybody in this league. I don't think that they have that guy.
Mm. Is there a guy out there who maybe Billy Beane and company could trade for? Or could they maybe trade hypothetically for a Johnny Cueto and still be okay? Do you need that lead dog in a year like 2020?
I think you do. I think you always need, because the game of baseball is so turbulent. You can have a team that's playing really, really well, and all of a sudden they go cold and they're not playing really, really well. Mm. And as you know, in the playoffs and in the World Series, the team that is the hottest at that time is the team that's gonna usually win. And the team that is hot at that time, almost always you have that one lead dog that takes your team to victory.
Stu, good stuff as always. A's, we'll see if they can win 10 in a row tonight down in Anaheim as they play the Angels, the Angels team that is scuffling. A's on the roll right now. We'll see if Shaman Naya can finally get off this night. Stu, thanks so much for the time today.
And thanks for having me on.
From the 209 on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 888-957-9570. Yo, Champions by the Bay was on Rewind every summer when I was growing up. Still have it on VHS. That's Ken in Fremont. From the 707, this is from Bab in Vallejo. Great pool with Champs by the Bay. I watched baseball in the late 80s, and this video is phenomenal. Thank you for getting the word out, of course. If you haven't seen Champions by the Bay, get on YouTube, free up an hour and a half of your time, and if you're interested in the A's and the Giants and their World Series run from back in the late 80s, it was one of the videos. I'm 27 years old, so, you know, I was around when VHS tapes were around, much to contrary to what a lot of people think, but that was one of the ones that I would always watch, and that's how I kind of got to know Dave Stewart and Ricky Henderson and Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire for the A's. On the Giants side, it's randomly how I got to know Brett Butler, then Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell, Mike Kruko. That was where he was going around with a microphone in the dugout, kind of interviewing people. You could tell that he was set for a career in broadcasting after that. He was in the later stages of his career. It's a terrific documentary. I highly recommend. If you're a Bay Area baseball fan, you need to watch it. Again, Champions by the Bay on YouTube. Hour and a half. That's all you need. Hour and a half. So I want to put some clarity on the Ramon Laureano situation, because when I read this article from Jeff Passan on ESPN, MLB Insider, I hadn't heard Laureano speak much, and from the 209, Tony Phillips, the ultimate utility man. Yeah, you find what were they called? The Killer Bees? Isn't that what they were called? Yeah, it's like it was so cool. But with Ramon Laureano, though, and what he did with Jeff Passan yesterday, I was reading it, and my jaw kind of dropped when I read it, because you know the report came out yesterday that Alex Cintron had said something about his mother, and then it continued saying Laureano is one of the nicest players in baseball. He's known as that, so it's not likely you're going to see him like this. And Laureano told ESPN, and he confirmed that Cintron said in Spanish something you don't say about my mother. And this is also from ESPN, and the question kind of remains is how long will Cintron be suspended for, Laureano be suspended for compared to Cintron? And what will be the length? And in ESPN, it says while Laureano is expected to be suspended, Cintron, because he's a coach and is expected to set a standard of behavior, stands to receive a significantly lengthier ban. That is according to sources. Now here's the part with Ramon Laureano. If you're not a fan of him, this might make you a fan of him now, but Laureano was traded from the Astros in 2017. Originally, he was sent to high school from the Dominican Republic without knowing a word of English. And when he spoke about his parents and, you know, Alex Cintron saying something about his mom, this is a quote from Laureano, quote, "Every day I wake up with the motivation to be with them," he said. "They sacrificed their life for me. They made the tough decision to let their own kid go to the States by himself and follow his own dreams. I've been away from my family for 10 years. It's tough to be away from them. Any chance I have to be with them, I feel like I'm in heaven. So for him to say that to me about my mom, it doesn't sit well. I've got a fire inside of me right away in that second." And I think anyone would. And he continued and talked about his relationship with the Astros. And he went on to say that he didn't feel like any of it was intentional, even though he got hit three times. And this is a quote. "The other days I've been on base, we've been chit-chatting, talking about life and family on the bases. Everything's great. I get along with everybody on the Astros." And the one guy we saw kind of put a stop to the entire thing was Dustin Garneau, who's a catcher on the Astros and one of Ramon Laureano's former teammates. And he said, quote, "He was protecting me 100% the whole time. I really feel the respect. He's one of the best teammates I've ever had. He protected me. We were down on the pile. He said to me, 'You good?' I said, 'Thank you. Thank you.' He said, 'Don't worry about it.'" So, you know, it's pretty cool what happened with that situation, at least as far as what happened on the ground. And here's the quote of quotes. I regret charging him because he's a loser," Laureano told ESPN. "A suspension is understandable, but I hope it's not that many games." So you hear that, and that's pretty cool. Just that, you know, he doesn't feel the animosity toward the Astros organization. So I just want to kind of run down what happened yesterday and just play these all in a row for you. But here are all of the home runs from yesterday with the Giants, as well as these A's games. The Giants, courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area.
"We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month."
"New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.